Thank you, brother. Good morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read from verse 4 through verse 8. Hear the word of God. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never fails. All of God's people said, amen. Well, this is one of my favorite words in all of the created words. And so hopefully I won't ramble on too long about it this morning. But this word is the Greek word elpizo. Elpizo. Elpizo pas. Pas meaning all things, right? All have sinned. Everyone. Pas have sinned. Elpizo. Stego pas. Pistueo pas. Elpizo pas. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. Elpizo is a verb that is used 32 times in the New Testament and is primarily translated as hope or trust. And it's from the root word, which is the noun, which is elpis, which means a confidence or a trust or an expectation, usually in a pleasant sense. It's an expectation in the verb form. In the verb form, it means to be confident or to trust or to expect. Now, Romans 8:24 says, we are saved by hope, which is the noun form. But hope that is seen is not hope. So if you can see hope, it's not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? The verb form. Let me read that again. Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why doth he yet hope for it? And now Hebrews 11, verse 1, you've heard this many times. The word hope is used in the very definition of the word faith. It's very hard to get our minds around what this word means. And hopefully the preceding verse that I just read is helpful in understanding it's not something that you can see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, Abraham bears this out, and Paul demonstrates this in Romans 4, verse 18. Abraham, our spiritual father, who, against hope, the noun form, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. You see, Abraham hoped against hope. This shows that there are two separate ways of hoping. We hope in the natural and we hope in the supernatural. We hope in the natural for a brighter tomorrow, a more stable financial future. We hope for more peace in the world. We hope for healing. We hope for a lot of things to come. But in the supernatural, hope sometimes is completely contrary to natural hope. Like in Abraham's case, it is clear from the testimony of the Bible that the substance of Abraham's faith was the promises of God. And these things are often contrary to the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil bring about. Let me read on in Romans 4, starting in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he, Abraham, considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. 100 years old. And he is told that he is going to have a baby and that he is going to be the father of many. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for him, for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Brothers and sisters, how long must we hide behind the faith of Abraham, our father? Abraham was strong in faith, Paul says, being fully persuaded at what was promised that Abraham could perform. And brothers and sisters, are you fully persuaded that what Jesus has promised, that he will perform, and that you can be risen with him? Are you fully persuaded? How much more ought we to be persuaded, brothers and sisters, now that we have a better promise than the promise that Abraham heard? A more clear, a more perfect promise. A promise that has come. The promise that has given himself for us. That has conquered the grave. And if Jesus can conquer the grave, can he heal your body? Can he heal your mind? Can he raise you from the dead? I dare you to say no. I dare you to say no. How much more ought we to be persuaded, brothers and sisters? We have the testimony of God. We must hope with Abraham, sometimes hoping against hope. Sometimes the promises of God, hope against hope. They're against the very nature of this world. I love it. It goes against everything that is evil, everything that is bad, everything that is smelly. The gospel overcomes all of these things. You see, the exhortation, brothers and sisters, is not to hope all things and believing that Johnny, out of the sweetness of his little heart, will see the error of his ways and repent. And he'll change, and one day he'll be great and sweet. That's not our hope, brothers and sisters. Our hope is to believe in God and his abundant wealth of mercy and his life-transforming grace, that he will graciously work in Johnny repentance and cause him to believe, and that Johnny would be convinced of the promise for salvation to those who do repent and believe. Amen. The exhortation is to hope, and to hope in the supernatural for the supernatural. And the natural. Not to hope in the natural for the supernatural. Or the natural for the natural. We hope in the supernatural for supernatural things to happen in the natural world. This most basic promise of God, his covenant with his church, that Jesus will return for his bride, is our primary hope. We see that if God is able to save sinners, then we can see that he can heal the blind. When we realize how great this hope is and how it affects all of humanity, all of creation, throughout history, past, present, future, how it affects the whole world. Brothers and sisters, your closest friends can stab you in the back and you will walk away unwounded. Your enemies can only try to force you to deny Christ, but to shut you up, they must kill you. Not because you are weak, but because you are strong. Because the hope of Jesus Christ and his promise is strong in you. Hoping all things is a spiritual toughness. It's a verb. It's an action word. the flesh and the devil and the world who will try to draw attention to themselves and say, look at me, I will hurt you, I will bring you down, I will discourage you, I will make you weak, I will kill you. They try to draw attention to themselves. And you can start swinging with hope in Jesus, and they will not hurt you. And then you can say, step aside, world, step aside, flesh, step aside, devil. King Jesus is coming. Make room. We must, brothers and sisters, we must pray with hope. We must pray with hope. A hope that hopes against the hope, the natural hope. A supernatural hope that is against the natural hope. That hope that Abraham hoped with. Abraham hoped in a supernatural way against that natural hope that said, you're too old for this. We must, secondly, expect the promises of God to be true. We must expect that when we jump off of that platform and that we grab a hold of that branch that He says is strong enough, that it will be strong enough, and that we won't go tumbling to the ground. And again, repetition from last week, we must believe that all things are possible with God, and that God can work in the lives of every believer and non-believer alike. God is powerful. Fourthly, when others sin against us, assume that there is something very difficult going on in their life. Assume also that this is a problem that Jesus can solve. And maybe even a problem that God can use you to help solve. This is returning evil with blessing. This is where it's at, brothers and sisters. Taking dominion for Jesus Christ. Taking territory that was once the world's. Taking territory that once was once the flesh's and was once the devil's. And taking it in hope that your King is coming. And you can say, yes, He knifed me right in the back. You could say in the natural hope that He did that because He hates me. But in the supernatural hope, is that what God would have you say? In the supernatural hope, you might say, He's hurting. And God is able to save him. God is able to help him. And God, how might you use me to encourage this brother? And so you can say, God is at work. God is working. We know this to be true. Whenever there's a problem, whenever there's something that is against hope, you know, you can rest assured, brothers and sisters, that God is going to begin a very great and awesome work. You can rest assured in that. You also need to know that God is able to redeem the situation. You need to hope for that. God is able to redeem. He's able to heal that knife wound. He's able to take that knife away. Amen. He's able to overcome evil with good. And again, we must consider if God would use your hope to help redeem His people. Just like God used the hope of Abraham to redeem His people, as Paul says in Romans 4. Brothers and sisters, we must hope all things. It's loving to hope all things. And God is love. We must love. We must hope all things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, we confess to you that we are not ones who have hoped all things. Father, fortunate are we if we hope even but a little. Oh, Father, I pray that you would turn us. I pray that you would give us a faith, that faith that Abraham had, wherein he was so persuaded by the promises of God. Would that we be so persuaded by the promises of God that faith would be the object of our hope always. That we would never set other people as the object of our hope. That we would not set the performance of the Denver Broncos or of our wives or of our children or of our pastor as the object of our hope. Oh, but Father, might we rightly place Jesus as the object of our hope, the belief in what He has done. And Father, as this hope overcomes us, God, might all of the other things that we have hoped for fade away. Because hoping in Jesus is such a magnificent hope that it consumes all of our capacity to hope and to want and to desire. That all of our desires and our longings would be for Him. To be with You, God. Oh, Lord, we want to be with You. And God, we beg You to come. Lord, we act as though we do not want You to come. We do not want You here. Lord, this is how we behave. This is how we act. We say, we got this. But Father, we need You. And we are here and dying. And we need You. And so we pray that You would not tarry in Your coming.
Amen.
Father, we long for Your presence. We thank You that You promised that Your presence is here with us now. And so, Father, we commune with You now. And we confess to You that we are weak in faith. Because our hope is in other things. And Father, I pray that You would help us to set our affections upon You. That our hope would be firmly fixed upon You. And Father, help us to shed the natural hope that we have. The natural desires that we have. And Lord, might You give us a hope in the supernatural in You, O God. And might we hope for things that are supernatural, even above and beyond what we could ever naturally think or ask or imagine. Father, this is what You do in supernatural ways. You change, You restore, You redeem, You build, You grow. This is the business that You are in. And God, we thank You. Oh, Lord, forgive us for our lack of hope. And Father, now we take a moment to confess our personal sins to You.